make that critical move towards supporting this type of programming. You can also call Will at the front desk and do it that way. 503-231-8032. Good old phone number that takes you everywhere. We'll be very happy to speak with you, get you signed up, and before you know it, you'll be a member of this extraordinary radio station. First, we have some headlines. As always, we have a call out to Richard Stallman of the Free Software Movement. Be very careful when you speak about open source and Linux, because this is a heartbeat away from monetizing everything we love about the internet. For that matter, monetizing encryption and decryption. Stallman is the progenitor, the creator of GNU, and the source code for everything that we love and hate about encryption and decryption, and we're waiting right now for Richard to get in touch with us. Meanwhile, back in Cascadia, yesterday Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum announced that she would not defend Oregon's ban on gay marriage in federal court. And with that simple statement, backed up by the full force of the U.S. Constitution, hello? Hello, Republicans? Advocates of gay marriage saw the possibility of a quick legal win on the horizon. And well, accident rates and derailments seem to have declined, or perhaps they're just not reported for decades. Oil trains have a dubious track record, no pun intended, of course. Trains in Oregon carry the same type of flammable North Dakota Bakken oil involved in the three high-profile explosions last year, including one that killed 47 people and leveled part of a Canadian town. Last year, 110 trains brought a total of 242 million gallons of very highly volatile crude oil to the industrial park outside of Kletskanat. The state inspector took one look and wasn't happy with what he saw. Essentially, what it amounts to is we simply got lucky three times. Think about it. And on Monday, of course, Dan Sears with Willamette Riverkeeper will be joining us to think about it some more and then speak about it. Greenpeace's upcoming coal action is on the calendar. We'll be speaking also next week with Ralph Poynter and Lynn Stewart, Harvey Wasserman weighing in on Obama's new nukes, and Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz has announced finalization of hotly contested taxpayer handouts for the two Vogtle reactors being built in Georgia. That's another nearly $2 billion waiting to be pulled out of your pocket in mine in taxes to build these things. That's right. We're financing that. Where we could be financing radio stations, but no, we're investing instead our tax dollars in not merely dubious enterprises such as another nuclear reactor, which essentially is an expensive way to generate power all in all, but we are contributing to the type of accident that is horrific to imagine, that would dwarf Fukushima many times over, and we're paying for that. We're being asked to pay for a radioactive sinkhole. And the campaign for $15 an hour minimum wage in Seattle is targeting 25 fast food burger restaurants yesterday, what it called Boycott McPoverty. A spokesperson for the campaign, Sage Wilson, working Washington, says several dozen demonstrators marched outside a popular McDonald's restaurant yesterday morning. Even the customers going inside for coffee or breakfast expressed support for low-wage workers. Think about it, McDonald's. And in view of Amazon's eagerness to dump the WikiLeaks site at the behest of the U.S. government officials, what else might the Amazon hierarchy be willing to do? Amazon currently maintains a humongous trove of detailed information about its hundreds of millions of customers. Why people use it is a mystery to me, and a somewhat outraged one at that. Are we to believe that the CIA and other intelligence agencies have no interest in Amazon's data, as they so disingenuously claim? There was an article in a recent New Yorker magazine on the internal mechanics of Amazon and Jeff Bezos' philosophy, which permeates the company from top to down. They're a perfect match with the CIA. It's one of the most secretive companies, probably the most secretive company in U.S. history. It's a very good article. I commend it to your attention. And the relative calm that was achieved in Ukraine earlier this week was long gone by yesterday. Clashes between protesters and police claimed at least 22 lives by sunset. That's the numbers are coming from the BBC, and there have been other numbers out there. That's kind of a main distribution. All but one of those reported killed in the ongoing riots were demonstrators. They were demanding nothing less than to hold Parliament to an agreement that was formed on Monday and then abandoned, of course. The agreement would have diminished the Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych's powers. And that went over very badly. It's interesting to note when one flipping through various stations, listening to what others have to say, and listening on shortwave as well. It was when they announced that it was eight demonstrators were being put on trial, eight activists were on trial. At first, I thought this might be something from Cascadia. It's so similar, the situation, the crackdown on people who dare raise their voices. And yesterday, we didn't get to it. We were busy. We had people on the show. Unlike today, when Richard Stallman still hasn't called in. Yesterday was World Social Justice Day, and of course, it was perfect for hearing from the Plowshares activists, from whom we will be hearing a great deal more over the coming days. And then this first, though, because our feet are planted here in Cascadia. When we say that we're going to take a stand, this is where we do it. Isolated showers today for the weather, mostly cloudy, and we should have highs around 47 and not much in the way of wind. For tonight, overcast, lows around 33, and calm winds. Tomorrow could be socked in places, otherwise sunny, and temperatures climbing all the way to 48 for tomorrow night. Mostly cloudy, lows around 34, calm winds, and Sunday, slight chance of rain later on in the afternoon. Highs around 46, and for Sunday night, rain likely. Let's see, we've got a low around 39, apparently, and not much in the way of wind, but plenty of in the way of precipitation. And the alternative forecast, we've got that for you today. The moon is 21 days old. It's a flower moon in Libra. This is the last quarter synodic forecast. Not a good time to be sowing anything in the garden. So you is, however, the time to get a leg up on weeding and harvesting. If you've got anything left out there, get rid of it, because it's not going to do you any favors later in the season. It's going to rot and attract pests. So the biodynamic forecast moon in Libra, it's an air sign, so you might want to think about flowering plants. And the sidereal moon in Libra, good time to sow green manures for cover crops. So basically done and done. That checklist has been pretty much cleared, although the weeding never ends. And that's it for the alternative and conventional forecasts. We have news from all over the place, and as always, we're still waiting for Richard Stallman, because with talk of encryption and decryption increasingly important in all of our lives, as we've learned, it is also important to understand what we're talking about. It's very easy to use terms without really knowing what they say. Be careful with the word Linux. Be careful with the word open source. Take a look at their sources, and take a look at the free software movement, which began long before they did. And these concepts, the Linux open source concept, walk a very thin line here, and one that it would behoove all of us to understand a little bit more about, because encryption and decryption, depending upon the GNU concept, this idea, is where it all begins, and that's where we have to start looking if we're going to understand what we mean when we talk about encryption and decryption techniques. There's a lot more to get to. I'm going to put that straight up there on the good old KBOO website. And I want to thank all of you, every one of you participated in this winter membership drive. Huge success, enormous amount of fun. We want to invite everyone to be part of this, because there is really nothing else like it. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, February 21st, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks so much for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andrick. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
And this is KBOO Portland. Thank you, Chris. Coming up, Flashpoints is off today. We'll hear a special presentation of Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Normally on Radio EcoShock, my expert guests do the talking while I listen and learn along with you. Later in the program, I'll interview the author of a new book about walk out, walk on. It's a strategy for getting out of an unproductive life, or one damaging to the earth, and finding your own path. But this week, there are major developments I have to tell you about in our story here on Earth. They are not coming through to you clearly or not reported at all. We humans were not made to comprehend the whole globe. Our DNA interprets the forest or the plains right around us. Lately, the Brits must think we are drowning. The Aussies are burning with heat. And Americans feel like the Ice Age has returned. Buried in all that, and in the places major media ignores, is a very serious development. It's simply this. Climate disruption has arrived much sooner than anyone, including the gloomiest scientists or the doomiest doomers, thought was possible. The beast is here now. We must expect a bumpy ride. So-called normal years may return to some places for a year or three, but we're entering a period of severe climate disruption that may extend for the rest of your life and that of your children. The ultimate destination may be a much hotter world where the Arctic Sea is tropical and the skies are placid, but we have a long road before that comes. It is the Great Disruption. I'm not going to cover the big storms hitting the Northeast. Major American media have flooded the world with that stuff, or you lived it personally, so you know.
Australia.
In past weeks, I've told you about Australia. Day after day, over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 38 degrees Celsius. I think that's what we're all headed for. Australian newspapers admit at least 400 people have died from this recent heat wave, with more to come. Heat is now a leading cause of death in Australia. This could happen in a developed country, and it should come as no surprise. Estimates for the number of people killed in the European heat wave of 2003, from 40,000 to 60,000 dead. There are two lessons here. First, climate change will kill a lot of us directly. And second, yes, the most vulnerable are the kids, the elderly, and people with existing medical conditions. But before that comforts you, remember that sooner or later, that will include you. Before we leave Australia, there's one bit of good news. Despite that country digging in to flood the world with coal, solar power is really picking up in Australia's sunny south. A new report by the Australian Energy Market Operator says the power from rooftop-mounted solar panels saved residents from blackouts that usually accompany a gush of air conditioner use. In 2009, Australia had those blackouts, but just 4 years later, there was enough solar power to shift the peak demand and save the system. It just makes common sense to install solar in a hot, sunny country. Why isn't Arizona listening?
South America.
But let's move on to a heat wave that is hardly reported. I'm talking about the monster heat striking southern Brazil and Argentina during December 2013 and January 2014 and continuing right on into early February.
A scorching summer in Brazil. The hottest January on record has left reservoirs dry. A high-pressure system has blocked normal afternoon rain during what is typically the year's wettest month.
Brazil's largest city, Sao Paulo, experienced its warmest January on record, with a daily average maximum of 31.9 degrees C or 89.4 degrees Fahrenheit.
Official temperature highs in Buenos Aires have been above 30 degrees centigrade since the beginning of December. But humidity and other factors have made it feel like it's in the mid-40s, and it's likely to stay like that until the new year.
We have been registering meteorological parameters for 141 years. Never in downtown Buenos Aires we had such high minimum persistent temperatures. High temperature, high humidity, and very low atmospheric pressure. It affects the human health. That's why we are alerting the population. Okay, take care.
The heat wave has been putting a major strain on energy supplies, causing power cuts in some neighbourhoods, sometimes for a few hours, occasionally for several days. In the meantime, emergency measures are being implemented and warnings issued about how to deal with the extreme heat. With the constant high temperatures, we're all suffering here, young and old alike. And with no electricity in some cases for 5, 10 or 20 days, the situation becomes unbearable, suffocating. And with no end in sight, we all have to look for respite